And we're back with Brews and Reviews. Me and Cole once again talking about DC animated films. Unfortunately, we're not right next to each other, so I get the whole couch to myself. And it's great. Today we're talking about Flashpoint, the animated film, not the crossover they had with the Arrowverse, even though I have seen that as well. But we're continuing our DC animated films. This probably might be the last one because our HBO subscription will be done at the end of this month. So probably won't continue this unless we buy the movies or rent them, but we'll see. But we're talking about it's. I know it as Flashpoint. What's the full title again? Because it's been about a year since.
Flashpoint the Flashpoint Paradox or something with the paradox.
Okay. Flashpoint Paradox. There obviously not a very they don't have a very memorable title. but this was something I watched probably maybe might be even 2 years ago. It's been a while since I saw it, but I remember liking it a lot, so I told Cole to watch it. Cole watched it. You have it fresh in your head, and what did you think, buddy?
I mean, I really enjoyed the film as far as it was a very cool, dark take on, you know, an alternate reality. As I got towards the end, I'm like, I don't know if this whole movie worked out like they thought they did, but it was enjoyable.
And I know, because I also saw, because I used to watch Arrow and Flash, and they did Flashpoint. I think in season two, because that's about as far as I watched with the Flash. Arrow I saw farther, but they did a bunch of crossovers between the shows where and all that. And they touched on Flashpoint, but this is what I saw first. And I really liked it. This is one of those what-if scenarios again. And they do, and it seems like DC has a good handle on, like, hey, what if this happened? I know Flashpoint has a big comic thing or whatever happened in the past. I never read it. But Barry Allen, like, if he went back in time to save his mother from being killed by Reverse Flash, what would be the outcome? And this is, again, a situation where, like, butterfly effect, small thing changes, and then suddenly the whole world's gone into chaos. Batman's dead.
Yeah. That's the first mistake.
The Bruce Wayne ends up dying in this one. That's the big one. And then his dad becomes Batman. And his dad as Batman was actually one of my favorite parts of this animated film. This guy is a total... This isn't like Batman, maybe he becomes unhinged. This is like Batman if he like lost his son. His wife becomes the Joker in this universe.
Yeah, that was the part crazy. Where he's like, oh, damn. Oh, no.
Yeah, so he, like, this guy uses guns. This is a no-nonsense, like, I don't give a crap. There's no moral code. But he can't. This makes a lot more sense why Batman can't kill the Joker this time around. Like, it's his wife. So, like, this was actually one of those things, like, oh, yeah, she's crazy, but he can't bring himself to kill her because it's his wife. So there's a lot more connection between Batman and the Joker than even the original story between Bruce Wayne and Jack Napier or whatever universe you want to go with. But seeing Bruce Wayne's dad as the Batman was actually Thomas Wayne was pretty glaring. Like, it was awesome.
And that was, to me, that was by far the best part of the movie. Like, if you could have a movie just about Gotham, what happened after this, that would be worth it alone. Like, let's see. Thomas Wayne is Batman. His mom is Joker. Like, I would pay to see that movie.
No, and that was one of the things. I'm like, you could totally... Like, DC keeps doing these spinoffs and what-if scenarios. I'm like, let's go to this universe and have Thomas Wayne be the Batman. And I forget his wife's name, but Mrs. Wayne as the Joker. And, like, you could have a lot of cool stuff. And this, again, seems to be a one-off thing that DC animated animation is doing. But I really liked it. I mean, this is the film, like, I watched it, I'm like, that was a really cool story. And that's what DC animated films have been, as we've talked about in the past, like, they do a really good job at what-if scenarios. Like, they really put their heart into it. And this was one of those movies, like, Flashpoint may have been a storyline, but it was a really good storyline, and they put their heart into it. And I thought everything was pretty well done in this. Like, this was really cool to see, like, Wonder Woman versus Aquaman. If the Athenians try to take on the Aquaman and stuff, they have a big war and the fallout from that, all because Barry Allen decided not to let his mom die. Pretty innocent thing to go back in time, save his mom, and it completely throws everything else in the shambles.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I will say that didn't quite sit with me is, like, especially when you compare this to Superman Red Son, which I know is a bad thing to compare it to because I love that movie, but the characters all seem like the same character, just like in a little different scenario. These characters were, like, the darkest version of that character, where it's like, sometimes it's hard to make that leap. Like, Wonder Woman, like, you know, like, one little thing caused the butterfly effect, but it's like, Wonder Woman being, like, a very cold-hearted, like, killer, like, here, I'm gonna, like, hang this dude with my cool lasso just for the funsies. It's like, I don't know, it just didn't really ring true to me with her character. Same with Aquaman. Batman made sense because it wasn't the same Batman, but all these characters that, like, are supposed to have this moral code, like, to me, they didn't carry that through with their character at all.
But I think, I think you're missing the point here, because they were at war, and war, you know, there's always, war changes people. You gotta remember that Wonder Woman and her people weren't at war in that, and even in the Red Sun scenario, they were isolated, and Aquaman and all his minions were under the water, and now there's a war going on. So war atrocities happen on both sides. So I think having a long war between the two could absolutely change their characters for maybe a darker tone. I bought it.
I'm not saying it's like totally out there, but like, I like the tone of the movie and I like the movie, but it was a little jarring where it's like, you didn't see the transformation. You just like were given, here's like typical Wonder Woman in every way. And now here's super dark Wonder Woman. You're like, whoa, like, I don't know. It didn't quite sit with me as far as like, this doesn't seem like the same character. This seems like a evil Wonder Woman.
And again, I think they try to make the point that war changes everyone, and that I think the war between the two factions caused them to become a lot more darker. And that's how I took it. So I guess, you know, take it as you will. But I mean, that I didn't think when I watched this movie, I wasn't like, yeah, that's weird. I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense with how like apocalyptic the world's becoming. Yeah, people probably are going to go a little darker on this one.
A little bit, but they went real dark.
But yeah, but if you go back to Red Sun, I know, like, even the Wonder Woman there, like, she cuts off man, but she doesn't go to war either. Like, they've been warring for a while at this point. So this was like, they're finally reaching the very end of it. And so like, drastic measures are taken. So, and each side wants to win. I mean, I bought that they could get to that point after, you know, how long they've been fighting.
And then Superman started looking like Joel all of a sudden, like just a super shiny guy.
Yeah, that was dark. I mean, they just keep this dude like he did not land on our farm in Kansas. And they just like shut him off from the sun. And he is just this scrawny, tiny dude. And that was jarring for me when I saw him. Like, oh, my God. Like, you just trap him away from the sun. And then this guy has like he never learned how to really use his powers. He had no friends. He was completely isolated from the world his entire life. And wow, that was probably like the most like, oh my gosh, this is dark. Like, this is terrible. Like, this is a Superman, a character we've known and loved our entire lives. And look what he's become because he fell into government hands rather than finding a family that loved him and showed him love and all that. And he didn't have that anymore. So he's completely unhinged once he got his powers. And I don't blame him. He was completely isolated his entire life. He has no personality, no social skills, no nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. That was. When he showed up, I was like, oh, dang. I kind of forgot about him, like, altogether.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you're watching this movie, and you're like, all right, where's Superman? You see him, like, all right, put him back. I don't want that one. Like, put him back away.
No, that man, dude.
And then he gets this, and it's really cool. It actually is a really cool scene when he gets out in the sun, and finally he can soak in the radiation and starts to float and fly and stuff. He is a really scary Superman, because, like, you realize, like, I have no idea what this guy is going to do at all.
No, and, like, you can tell, like, he's experiencing all these things for the first time, like, even talking to another person. He's like, oh, my gosh, like, you talk to me? It's like, okay, Superman, that's, whoa, like,
you're gonna find somebody? this is, like, I mean, I don't think Brightburn had came on. I've never seen the movie, but, like, this is, like, this guy has every right to just hate the world and just murder everybody. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, but he does it. Spoiler? I guess we're already talking about spoilers, so sorry if you haven't seen this movie yet. I think we're just getting to this casual point, like, all right, guys, like, go watch the movie or don't watch the movie. If you've seen it, fine, but here we are. What are some other – I mean, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm trying to think of some other – Barry Allen was really good. I love it. He decides to lightning himself over and over again. It didn't work. He's all bandaged up. Fuck it. Do it again.
Batman just goes with it, too. He's like, okay.
Well, no, but that makes – see, Bruce Wayne probably wouldn't do it, but this guy's like, whatever.
Yeah, nothing to lose.
That is like, I don't even know this guy. He's trying to kill him. Like, he does try to say, like, you can't do that again. You'll die. And he's like, whatever, man. Like, I did it before. We just got to find the right strike of lightning.
Yeah.
But it does work, obviously. But I was actually laughing when he was like, do it again. He's all bent and stuff. And they took him back to the machine. Just like, well, obviously, we know this is going to work. So can we cut to the chase here? We don't need to do this three times.
And I guess I've never actually seen Shazam in a DC movie besides the Shazam movie.
Which is an amazing movie. Did we do a podcast on that?
I don't remember. I'll have to look back and see if we did.
If we haven't, we definitely should, because that is probably my favorite DC film of the new generation. That and Joker are probably like, oh yeah, I can watch these. I mean, Shazam is a way different movie than Joker. So Joker, you kind of got to be in like, hey, we're going to watch this movie and it's going to be dark and gritty. Shazam's like, dude, you want to watch this awesome superhero film? Like, put this in and watch it.
Now, is that a thing? Like, in the Shazam movie, he becomes Shazam. In this one, there's like this group of kids become Shazam.
Yeah, and I think there's precedent for that. But again, I mean, I have never read comics, but there was never a Shazam animated show to which I can drag information from. So I have no idea. I'm assuming it's something. I doubt they would just make that up. But yeah, there's a bunch of people now. It's like, Shazam! And they all get inside each other.
Well, I didn't even put it together at first because like, I saw like a bunch of kids that they were talking to. I'm like, okay, I don't know where they came from. And then like you see Shazam, I'm like, oh. Oh, it's Shazam.
Yeah, like they split up. It's like, oh, there's like a bunch of little lion robots combined together to make a super lion robot. Like, I don't know. I mean, that it was definitely weird. But like I said, Shazam is just one of those characters. And that's what makes his actual live action movie so much better. It's like, I don't really know anything about Shazam. So like when they did that, like when they like, hey, there were actually multiple people combining into one. It's like, okay. What should I care about this? I'm like, I mean, it's a cool different concept on it, but I mean, why does it take multiple people to become Shazam now?
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's comic book nerds out there that could explain it to me. Not judging, like, good for you for knowing it, but Shazam, I barely remember Shazam in this movie until you brought it up.
I mean, he had a very small part, and I would say that's probably my single biggest problem is I felt like they stretched themselves a little thin. They brought a lot of characters in, and they didn't do all their characters justice because they tried to pack so many into this movie. Mm-hmm. Where I could have had less superheroes. Like, again, they gave Batman plenty of time. And so...
Yeah, because Batman's their crown jewel, man.
Like, yeah, like, they really brought out the Batman because they gave him more screen time. But, you know, even, like, say, Superman had, like, 3 minutes of screen time. Shazam had like 30 seconds. You know, they're bringing all these people in where they were in there for very little bits. And so they didn't, I mean, they moved the story along, but again, it felt like a little rush where I'm like, or Lois Lane. I'm like, I didn't really get the point of even having her in this movie.
Yeah. I think the main players here that have the most is Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Thomas Wayne is Batman, and Flash.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I remember the most from this movie. And the other ones, are in these what-if scenarios, especially, and we talked about this with animated films, you can't make it a 2.5-hour-long epic in these what-ifs. You got to just say, hey, I hope you know the characters for what they are, and we'll sprinkle them in. I was okay with what they did with Superman, because that made sense in this world. Like,
yeah, but my point is that like there was a lot of characters that had, and I get Cyborg, too, where it's like, they were in the movie.
Wait, Cyborg was in the... I didn't remember Cyborg.
Cyborg, like, they are using him to get Superman, basically. And that's all he's really there for. And so you have a bunch of, like, superheroes like that where there's this little part that they're in it for the most part. And then they bring him in the end to kill him. And I was like, I felt like if you would have narrowed your focus down, this would have made this a lot better. If you would have given us more Aquaman, more Wonder Woman, more Batman, more Flash... that would have made it even better.
And I think sometimes this is a problem in these what-if scenarios that I, like, when we talked about this in Gotham with Gaslight, I think sometimes they feel like they have to add more because, like, oh, yeah, we're still in the same universe where Shazam exists. We're still in the same universe where Superman exists. Like, oh, yeah, they're still here. And so sometimes they get a little off point for fan service, I feel.
Yeah.
And rather than focusing on the story at hand, again, I think Red Sun does the best job of not losing track of what they're doing.
I totally agree with that as far as Red Sun was able to, like, they all, like, had a cool storyline just by themselves. Where, like, if you look at Cyborg's storyline, there is none. If you look at, I mean, Superman actually had a very good storyline for the, again, the couple minutes he was in it. But
yeah, and it made a lot of sense, and it was cool. Like I said, like, he was, that's a completely unhinged Superman with no social skills, no rearing, no, like, justice and morals to fall on. Like, completely in solitary confinement. Like, it was cool to see. I'm glad they kept, like, that I would not remove. But like you said, Shazam was like, okay. Cyborg's like, okay. I'm like, it's cool to see these guys, but it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of like the Zack Snyder cut versus the original Justice League. Justice League had the Flash basically like just save one person, and then he saves a pickup full of people, and that's all he really does. He's not a main player. In the Snyder cut, he freaking saves the world. Like he was like that's all I'll say about the Snyder cut. They had a point and purpose to every single character, way more than they did in the original Justice League. Whereas, again, with these animated films, sometimes like, hey, by the way, it's Shazam, and look, he's multiple people. It's like, yeah, but we don't know how that happened. Like for me personally, like, so why would I care?
Yeah.
Like you didn't explain that to me. And yeah, is it fan service? I'm sure it is. I'm sure there's fans out there that know why this happened. Like that's really cool to see. But it's like for the regular viewer, it's like, yeah, I'm like, I love superheroes and all, and I know a decent amount, but it's like, I have no idea why we're here with them. And Shazam was never a big character for me in general. So it's like, okay, well, cool. Good job, guys. Just do your thing, I guess. Yeah. So,
yeah,
they do falter a little bit as far as fan service, and I think, but I've kind of come to, and I've seen a few more of these than you. I've come to expect that with a lot
and of it,
animated films.
It didn't like make or break the movie. It was just one of those things that when you're playing to the strengths of certain characters, like, and again, you only have an hour about of screen time. Give it to those guys. Don't waste 5 minutes on 40 different characters. Just, you know.
Like you said, like this movie, should, like you said, and I completely agree with you. I'd love to see more of Thomas Wayne as Batman in that universe with Weiss the Joker. Because that's, like, you could say Batman has moral code and stuff, but, I mean, I've had debates about this before, probably with you too, where it's like, okay, at some point, though, it's justifiable homicide. Like, just kill the dude. If you can't imprison him and you can't keep him, like, you can't, like, the cops, if you can't kill him, have the cops just snipe him. Like at some point, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, and like the Joker is an amazing villain and a great foil for Batman, and it's amazing to see him. But it's kind of like the Arkham Knight game. It's like they needed to keep him in there as like something. And like I love that game and stuff, but it's like you had to have the Joker, didn't you? Like you, it's like those games could not live without him, and it's like, there's other great Batman villains. Focus on those. We don't need the Joker for everything. And you can't keep telling me when he keeps going back, he's like, I'm going to stay to my code. Yeah, but now thousands and thousands of people are being killed, maimed, and are dying everywhere. Like, at some point, stop putting him in Arkham and just electrocute the dude. Hang his ass. I don't care. Just kill him.
Well, and yeah, it would be a very interesting movie because you really – I mean, they show – she has the blood on her hand, like, Bruce got shot, and then she, like, starts laughing, and, like, all of a sudden that becomes, like, her Joker face. But you never actually saw her as the
Joker face.
You never saw her do anything or any of the dynamic there. And, again, like, Batman pretty much stole the show in this movie. Like, he was...
100%. He was the best. Thomas Wayne as Batman was fantastic. It was really cool to see him as a what-if scenario, and I think that it is definitely the strong point of this movie, and they do give him a lot of time. He's basically Flash's partner for pretty much his entire ordeal.
I was hoping, which, I mean, I get why they didn't do it, but I was hoping that he would have had to, like, go to, like, his wife would have still been alive, and he would have had to go get her for the final battle. Like...
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, I just wanted to see more of that, honestly, however you would have given it to me, because I'm like, this is such a cool concept, like...
I'm 99% sure that that was in Flashpoint. Like, Thomas Wayne being Batman in an alternate universe was a thing. But again, it's a really, really cool concept, like, I mean, Thomas Wayne's gotta be, like, 80, but whatever. No, that was a really cool dynamic. And again, that was like the most, like, that's the universe when, like, he won't kill the Joker. That makes sense to me in this universe because, like, you can argue whatever you want, but he can't kill his wife. Like, he just can't do it. So for me, it's like, I totally get it. You can justify it, be like, oh, it'd be too damn easy and stuff. But there's at some point where it's like, okay, dude, there's been hundreds of thousands of people killed because you just won't axe this dude. At some point, you're being selfish. Like, you need to just axe him.
Yeah, but that's not how it works.
Clearly not, because how would there be another story? Yeah. Like, so no, this was that was the best part of this what if scenario for me was Thomas Wayne, and again, I did want a lot more of it. They did a really good job with it, and I wish they would make a movie just about this, about that point, and, you know, that dynamic. Because I think you can make a lot of movies on that. I think there could be a lot of cool stuff you do with that. So yeah, I mean, that's the best part for me. And I think we both agree on that.
And getting back to, you know, we're talking about some of those like random characters that they threw in. There was like five characters. I didn't even know who they were. Granted, again, I didn't read the comics. I'm not like a huge extended DC universe buff, but there were like the people that were like helping Lois Lane out. I had no idea who they were. There were like five of them that they shoot a bunch of Amazons and they're like, oh yeah, like this is whoever. I'm like, means nothing to me.
Yeah. And that's, and I think that's where, I mean, if you're a hardcore DC universe fan, I think you might like this a lot more than we did, because I think there's going to be a lot of, especially if you read the comic, I think there's probably a lot of things in here that you're going to like to see come to screen. And by itself, though, I think it's a good movie. I mean, we didn't even talk about the Reverse Flash and, like, how he's basically doomed. Like, he's just stuck in a time. This is the one we got shot through the head, right?
What?
Reverse Flash? The yellow guy.
What about him? Wait, do you mean Thawne?
Yeah, Ed. Yeah.
Okay.
Eddie Thawne.
Okay, what about him?
Didn't he have a big bolt hole through his head? Like, you basically screwed up the entire universe. And, like, basically, he's in this, like, permanent purgatory where he's, like, just, he's running away from his own death.
No.
No, okay. I'm thinking of a different anime. See, I've seen too many anime films.
Oh, no. Because, like, he goes and he beats Barry up at the end.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, this is actually all your fault. I didn't do this. But since I'm here, you can't use super speed, whatever it is, enough to, like, travel through time. And then I'm pretty sure Batman shoots him in the face.
Okay, so he does. Okay, so I am remembering this way, but to a certain extent. But yeah, so like he literally, like Reverse Flash, like you did all of this. Like I did, like this wasn't me. This is you, because you decided to go change time. And again, the whole thing, like fate is fate and don't mess with it type thing. And it's tale as old as time, but I mean, it works for this. And I don't know, like I enjoyed the movie. Like I remember watching it. Like I haven't seen it since, but it's a movie that I thoroughly enjoyed watching. And it's like, again, another animated film. It's like, ah, cool. Does it have its faults? Yeah. Like, you can definitely point, I think you can poke holes in almost any animated film I've ever seen if you really try hard enough. It's just about what it, how it sits for you. And again, very enjoyable watch for me.
Yeah.
Glad I saw it.
Yeah, I would agree. It, just the basic concept of the movie is very entertaining. It's like, okay, Thomas Wayne is Batman. Aquaman and Wonder Woman are going at a war. People are choosing sides, and there's Cyborg and I guess Batman are also like the third neutral party that's just trying to kill everyone. And it's like, there's a lot of different stuff going on. Like I said, I do feel like they spread themselves a little thin on their storytelling, like cut down on all these guys. Like, again, I don't even know who they are, but the end result was still very enjoyable. Like they didn't lose themselves in it. They just, you know, it could have been better, but
they
it was got still good.
They distracted a little bit.
Yeah.
And again, in these movies, especially when you do a movie like this that has a historic origin with comic books, like I know they gotta try to put all that they can from that story in there to please the fans. But there's a right way to do fan service and a wrong way. And I think it's okay to cut some stuff out if it is like that minuscule and just distracts from the movie. Like just don't even put it in.
Yeah.
Like you could have had Shazam. You could have had Shazam, the regular Shazam for me, and nothing would have changed. The fact that he was multiple people meant nothing to me. Like, I didn't feel like, oh, wow, they did that Shazam. I'm like, Okay, well, he's not the original Shazam, so that's all I know.
Yeah.
Apparently, when Flash went back in time, he wasn't worthy anymore. Or maybe he died. Who knows? I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so now we're going to go to our ratings, I think, unless you have something else in the movie you want to bring up.
No. What are you going to rate it, Jake?
This is like the classic, like, if I had a rating, like, this is a 7 for me. Like, if I can think of a movie that's just like a 7, like, oh yeah, Flashpoint Paradox. Yeah, that's 7. Like, it's a very enjoyable movie. You'll like it once, but like I said, like, even though you were watching it, it wasn't something I was like, dude, I need to go back and see that again right now. It was so amazing. It was like, no, this is a very good animated film. Very well done for most of it. 7. Solid 7.
Yeah, I was going to say right in there, probably like 7, 7.5. I couldn't commit either way, but since you said 7, I'll probably say 7.5.
Yeah, of course, because we can never agree on anything.
Yeah. Okay. But
no, I thought about giving it a 7.5, but again, like, it's one of the 7.5 to me, when you go 7.5 and above, that's when it's like, I get to that point where I'm like, oh, I will totally watch this again. Like, I want it. Like, once you get past that 7.5 point, it's like, yeah, I want to see this again sometime in the, like, in my future. But this is something like I told you to watch it because I enjoyed it. I remember enjoying it a lot. But it's never been something I'm like, I need to go back and watch that again. Even though I can watch it for free and I give it a point, it's never been something I'm like, yeah, I need to see that one more time before I, you know, see something new. So, I mean, that's how we rated it, I guess. I mean, like I said, I think this could be an 8, 8.5 movie for people that know the storyline. I will say this animated film, in my opinion, did it way better than the live action shows on the CW.
Yeah.
Those shows are just jerks because, like, I would watch Arrow. I stayed on, like, I loved the first 3 seasons of Arrow and then went downhill, but I always had hope it would come back. It never really did. Flash season 1 was pretty promising. I'm like, okay, it has a problem, but I'm excited for it. And it fell downhill immediately.
And I couldn't even stomach the first season of Flash. I watched like an episode. I'm like, nope, I'm out. I'll stick with Arrow.
Well, the end of season 2 of The Flash is when... So, just if you guys haven't seen the series and you want to watch it, this is going to be spoilers for Flash, because this is what pissed me off so much. Because the first season of Flash, Barry actually goes back in time at the end of it to try to stop Thawne from killing his mother. And you see the other Flash who's fighting him at that time, just like in how it happened in real life when he was a kid. And he just pointed at him. He said, no, he's like, don't do it. He's like, do not interfere with the timeline. And it was a big emotional moment. And so he comes back. He's like, yeah. And so he doesn't do it. And he's like, yeah, he's like, it wouldn't be good. He's like he realized he, even though he wanted his mother back so bad, he realized that that could have screwed up everything. So he didn't. Guess what happens at the end of season 2? He does it. So everything he learned from the first season gets thrown away at the end of the second season. That's what I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, what? Like, if he was going to do it, why didn't he do it there? He learned nothing. He just went back and like, no, I'm doing it. Like, throwing a tantrum as a kid, which kicks off the whole Flashpoint. But here's my big issue with the CW. So if you like Arrow and you like Flash, or like, and they have Legends of Tomorrow, now they have Supergirl. You had to, I'd watch an episode of the Arrow that was on there, and it was like in the middle of a story. I remember the first time they did it, I'm like, wait, what's happening? He's like, no, you had to watch the episode of The Flash before that. And then they started to combine them all, like when they had a crossover, there was it was like a 5-part episode split between each one of the shows. So if you didn't watch the show, you had no idea what was going on in the show that you were currently watching. And I hated that. I'm like, well, great. Now I got to go find this episode of Supergirl and watch it. Also, it's going to make no sense. Yeah. And I got to watch Legends of Tomorrow, which, like, it's like, why did you do it that way? Because, yeah, I may have liked the Arrow a lot, but I didn't watch Flash anymore. I watched 1 season of Legend of Tomorrow. Wasn't a huge fan. And I watched 2 episodes of Supergirl and I was out. And they're like, oh, no, you have to watch all of them to get the story. I'm like, this is painful. Like, I don't want to do any of that.
Yeah.
So that's why I said this is way better, because this was a condensed story for everything in there. And I don't even know. I think they went back later in time in the series. I saw stuff on Facebook that they had alternate Batmans and stuff. But it's like, dude, you got to stick true to your story. It's cool to have crossovers, but keep it contained in in one show. Don't split it up between all shows, because everyone might not be watching all the shows.
So I have a bold take.
Oh boy, I'm excited.
I know you love my bold takes. I would say Flashpoint Paradox would be a top three DC animated movie for me. And now I'm up to like six or seven that I've seen.
I think you've seen six now.
Okay, well, I'm out of the top five, so number three.
That's not a bold take. You have to see at least like 20 of these before you can actually like, oh yeah, that's not a bold take. That's in the top 50% of what you've seen. That's like nothing special. So you got, wait, you got Red Sun, you got Mask of the Phantasm, obviously top two.
And then this one.
So Gotham by Gaslight, Killing Joke, obviously is not in there. What was the other one you saw? Oh yeah, Batman vs. Really?
Yep.
Batman vs. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, as far as the ones we've talked about. It goes Mask of the Phantasm, Red Sun for me, and Batman vs. the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for all the ones we've talked about.
And then this one will be four?
Yep, this would be four. And then you got Gotham by Gaslight, and then you got the Killing Joke. I mean, which might as well not be in the running, because I think of all the animated films I've seen, that's definitely going to be on the bottom tier of all of it.
That's the only one that I've rated like less than like watchable, like less than a five.
Yeah, you gave it higher than me. That was a crazy part. But I think I'm trying to think if we have one more that we can crank off. I might go through it because since we're on this kick, maybe we'll do one more before it's all said and done. But as of right now, I think that might wrap up our DC animated binge, unless I can find one that I can't think of that you haven't seen, or maybe one we both haven't seen that maybe we watch and get a fresh take on.
Yeah, I'll have to look in to see if there's any really good ones on there.
Well, I know there was, because The Mask of the Phantasm came out during the animated series. I know they made a couple more one, like something about Catwoman and also Mr. Freeze. I never watched any of them. So those are still part of the animated series. So I'd like to see where those movies go if they were connected to the old animated series and see what happened. So we'll probably do one more since we have a few weeks before HBO Max is completely done.
There we go. Not done yet.
Not done yet. So we'll do another one, but I think that's all I got for tonight. So,
yep.
Yeah, I guess if you've seen any DC animated films, you want to sit back and enjoy a good fun flick, I would say watch it.
Amen, bro.
If you like the other stuff, so that'll be Bruising Review signing off.